I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am so thrilled on this rainy, cold LA day for both of us to have Swire Ho of Gerudo Promo here with me today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me on your show, Annika.
Of course. Well, we are fellow podcasters and we also both have big hearts for small business. Before we get into what you do for your company, I'd love for you to talk about your background. Were you born here? You know, where did you come from? And how did you get into the world of promotional merchandise?
Wow, that's a long story going all the way back. Okay. So I was born and raised in Hong Kong, came to Los Angeles after high school, and I wanted to be in entertainment industry. Oh. But I don't act, I don't play an instrument, I don't sing. So I decided I became and studied to become a recording engineer. So I did that for a few years, you know, helping musicians, being a recording studio. I found that I couldn't sit in a place for, sometimes you have to sit in a session for 10 plus hours. So that was a little long for me. So one thing led to another. I worked at a studio in a sales position, you know, booking sessions. And at the time, a long time ago, we still used CDs. So I actually helped musicians where they finished the album, you know, help them put together their CD so they could sell the album. On the day of my honeymoon, I found out that that company that I was working for, also a small business, went out of business. So Now I'm newlywed, I have no job. So I decided at that time to take on just the CD DVD part, because that was in the early 2000 or so. So We still buy CDs and we still buy a lot of DVDs. So did that for a few years. And then along the way, musicians and film company asked, when we finished the album, we want to go on tours, we wanted to sell merch at our concerts, or when we want to do a give back at the red carpet. So that's my taste of the promotional product industry. And then hindsight is 2020. In 2013, competitor wanted to buy our business in the CD DVD part. So I think looking back, that was a good time to sell that part of the business. And then now we focus exclusively in promotional product.
Amazing. I love your story and I love how your journey really unfolded so organically, where you were able to come here, you know, figure out what you could do in entertainment, build some new skills, and then pivot really right before people stopped buying CDs, right? And started moving towards digital for ways to receive their music.
Yeah, I think I'm the type of person, you know, I know that you're a listener and you probably have a lot of guests that know their plan already for, you know, the next 20 years. I think I'm the type of person, I will see something that I really want to do and see opportunities there. And then I will, the person that try a little bit to see if it works for me. If it does, then I will move on to that. So it's a different path, obviously, that I've taken compared to a lot of your guests. But I think it's fun.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, I think a common thread I'm seeing with a lot of my guests is they're either in a corporate career for a very long time and then they pivot out of it, or they're more agile, where they maybe knew they wanted to be an entrepreneur and tried different things. So I don't think that it's uncommon, but I love that it was very organic, right? And I think a lot of people also don't think about those items when you're starting your business and you're thinking about how to market effectively. In the old days, I say the old days, like it was so long ago, but you know, it was all about, well, what events are we going to? Let's create lots of merch and like, let's have pens and calendars and like as much swag as we can with our logo. And now I think people still do that a little bit, but not nearly as much, partly because the ecosystem has changed. Are we going to live events? Are we not? Are we mailing things? Are we doing direct mail as a marketing technique? So when I get something, like I go to the Intuit Small Business Council conferences and I love getting my new Intuit water bottle every time. And it's funny how those things become more important now. So I'd love to hear, when you started out and you made the switch to merchandise and promotional materials, what was the ecosystem like then? And then the part two is, how has it changed over the course of the last decade?
That's a really good question. And obviously, as a business standpoint, volume is the name of the game. If I can make 20% profit, do it a million times, that's a lot of money. But what I've noticed since then, you know, volume is still important, right? If you have a client who buys a lot, who buys often, obviously that's a great client. But what I noticed, and you mentioned it too, Annika, is we like to value for the things that we receive. And nowadays, especially people are conscious about the environment. I don't want to receive junk that I just throw into the trash. So you actually pick and choose a brand that is resonate with you, that you think provide value, then you will be happy to use that mug, like your example. Or the perfect example will be when you go to a concert, they will sell you overpriced t-shirts and hoodies that are $100. Then you know exactly they don't cost $100 to do, but you love that artist. You know, imagine you go to a Taylor Swift concert without walking away merch.
Right.
Then you have nothing to brag about. You have nothing to show for. And you know, you're not supporting your artist. It can even go to, when we talk about nonprofits, when we talk about a business conference, right? You know, I learned my way at the conference, right? I earned this t-shirt, I earned this pin, or whatever that might be. So it's for brand now to consider, how do they use their merch or promotional product to create a connection? And to finish this answer, people like to use the word swag, which I tend not to want to use, because that actually stands for stuff we all get. It's not what everyone wants to get. It's what, how you create and make a red carpet type event so people will remember whenever I hold up this pen, they can tell me a 30-minute story behind this pen. So, you know, that I just want to throw it out there.
I'm very intrigued by that. I'd love to hear somebody who was so excited about a pen that they had a 30-minute story to tell about that pen.
Well, using Taylor Swift example, if you see her on a coffee shop and then I give you my pen with my logo on it, to sign your paper or whatever that you have to sign, you're going to hold on to that pen with my logo on it forever. That will probably fit into maybe like a book signing or maybe like an executive agreement. When you sign an important agreement, if you notice the White House, when they sign, you know, the Congress, the proposition to law, the president always signed the paper and he will give the pen to the congressman or people who work on the job. They will hang on to that pen. So different situation can create different scenario where you can utilize this gift to create a memorability to it. So not all pens are bad, but you know, you have to know how to properly use it.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That is a great story. And that is a story you'd want to listen to for 30 minutes. Either one of those, right? So how hard was it to get your clientele when you were first starting out? How did you market your marketing business to others?
It's competitive because I'm in a competitive business and people think that promotional product is a commodity. So if you're a commodity, you tend to get beat down on price. But I don't want to stay in that game. Going back to the CD business, I'm not the only company that CDs. What separates ourselves with our competitors, we found creative packaging that are available in Asia. And then at that time, the US are not going on to it with the crazy packaging, you know, the trifold. We actually bundle a t-shirt in the CDs all the time. So I'm finding out ways that people have not seen before in the country and I introduce to them. So going with that, I would like to provide a service-based business in a commodity world. So when I first started, I like networking. I belong to different chamber of commerce. So I go to chamber of commerce, talk to people that I know, and then ask them, I'm now at this new ventures of mine. Who do you suggest that I should be connect with? And what are some of your advice? And some of them have used promotional product before, so they give me good feedback. Others are kind enough to send me my early referrals. So these companies, they usually buy a lot of things that you do. Maybe you should talk to them. I think networking has always been my big thing, you know, for getting new leads, because we get so many robocall every day. I'm sure you do as well. And then we just tune out when someone really trying to break through us, try to sell us something. it doesn't work anymore. People get mad like in 5 seconds if you're trying to sell them something. But if you see them in Chamber of Commerce and you took the time to understand what their needs are, let them open up a little bit, then you can find out if that would be a good fit. So, you know, that's how I started in the beginning for the promotional product business.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said you're providing a service in a commodity-driven world. That's a paraphrasing a little bit, but that is the mark of somebody who really understands their market, because you're not just trying to, like you said, undercut them on price. You're trying to bring innovation, something new to the field. And to your point about the robocalls, the text messages that we get when we sign up for brands, or the spam ones, I get them all day, every day. The emails, I know email marketing is still really great, but also I get too many emails. I can't even get through them in a day. So these are ways that you can stand out, because I notice when I get something in the mail, I pay a little more attention to it now, because it's so rare to get something from somebody, especially if you, for instance, if you've been on a podcast or you did a big deal with somebody and then they send you something, a thank you note with something with, I don't want to say swag, but with some items in the mail, right? Some products, even if they're logoed, that means a lot more than it used to, I think, because it's something that people aren't doing as much.
Mm-hmm. So I think to answer that question, you know, business and myself included needs to find out who their ideal clients are.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time I see that when small business, especially small business, right, we have limited resources, right? So we might only have a few people who work with us. We have limited budget, but we want to target everyone. We don't want to let anyone loose, right? We want to capture all of them. But that's not a really good strategy. Like if you're targeting everyone, you're targeting nobody.
Exactly.
So instead, I would suggest if you can find a niche or if you find a community, like your local community, that you could really connect with. And then start making friends, start making partnerships within those. I use myself as example at the Chamber of Commerce. Everyone in that Chamber of Commerce know that Swireho does promotional product. I think that's already it's a powerful statement to make. You know, whenever that their contact might mention, maybe I need some pants or maybe we need some t-shirts, then they will help me to make that connection. You know, think about, you know, more organic approach to that. And you'd be surprised, like, maybe I can only influence 10 people, but I have really deep connection with those 10 people. You know, do that time 10, time 50. You know, when you know more contact, when you really build trust and value with them, you know, people are going to, you know, help you in the end.
Yeah. So you've mentioned also networking, that that's something that's been really effective for you, and the organic marketing and connections and the deep connections. And that's something that we also need to really pay attention to, because it's more important to have the right customer, the right connections that are maybe less people, than trying to reach out to the masses that aren't going to buy from you or going to get involved with you. So how have you seen things change over the past decade plus? I know you said that people are more conscious of the environment and not just wanting to make things to make them. Are you seeing trends towards certain types of products and certain ways people are using products?
I think the trend always comes and goes, right? Like a few years ago, we had the fidget spinner. Like we couldn't get enough made, you know, for it to go out. It always changes. But what I noticed, especially since COVID, people like to have an unboxing experience, like from the mail, like you just mentioned, right? So we've been doing more kitting. So what it does is we have a box, for example, or a mailer, and then the company will pick and choose item that are related to the audience, the recipient. Sometimes it's their employee, sometimes it's their client. So they're doing retention program, right? So they send them goodies and things that are related to these people. And then it's drop shipped to all of them. So people have an unboxing experience. What good about nowadays is we all have a cell phone. We are all like mini reporter. So if you send them relevant gifts, people are going to take pictures, and sometimes they'll make videos, right, to talk about your brand of product with your logo on it. So that actually helps the brand generate more awareness. If the campaign is done right, they will also be put in call to action for maybe to visit their website or maybe to sign up their newsletter, whatever that the company decided the campaign will be. So I'm seeing more of those being more target instead of when you walk by a booth on the street, I hand you a t-shirt and you wear it.
Right. Ooh, I love that. And what kind of things are you putting in unboxing? Is it typical, like the t-shirt, the notebook, a pen? Are you putting candles in? Are people like trying to be a little different?
If you want me to pick one right now, the most trending gift that I have been asked, and I know that it's trending, pickleball. You know, pickleball is taking our country by storm. Everyone wants to do and play pickleball. Actually, there is a gift set that you can get two pickleball racket with some balls. What good's about the pickleball paddle is the surface is really big and then it's flat. You can actually print a lot of nice graphics on it. So it's good for a promotion. And then, you know, people always ask me sometimes, we are targeting high net worth individual. So that means that none of the things that you send them, they don't already have already. But if you think about things that they might need that they don't use right now, if you put your logo on it to that, I was suggesting fire extinguisher before because something that they're going to need. But I think pickleball set is also a good for this year because they're going to go to country club or they're going to go on playing pickleball. They might not have a set. If you're the one who sent them what they want, at least for this holiday season, you know, a lot of people are going to use it.
That is so true. And I love that because you're surprising and delighting them. So you're creating like this warm feeling when somebody is receiving that. Actually, my daughter takes tennis lessons and it's near a pickleball court. And so just a couple of weeks ago, there was, I think it was maybe a finance group or something, was hosting their clients to teach them pickleball. And they had the branded, the hats, and the paddles and all of the things. So I didn't even think about that until you said pickleball. But yeah, and you see it on TV, you see people getting really excited about it. So do you see that becoming, staying as a trend into 2024? Or is there something else that you think is going to be trendy that you can share with us?
That's what's fun about my job is, you know, I started to play pickleball myself. So I noticed the trend. It just, when I go on about, I would say, under the table, like people will just hang out and do that. I'll say, what are people wearing nowadays? You know, and I'll go to different networking group too, maybe for younger generation, maybe for older generation, business, construction. And then I take notice of people doing, are there any brands that I don't know about that I could look into? For example, a few years ago, when Von Dutch was happening, people all wanted to be dressed like a trucker hat. I actually get asked by a tech company and they said, our employees want to dress like truckers. We want to dress like a trucker hat. And just so happened at the time I work at the apparel for the uniform for the auto body shop. They all have trucker hat. They all have the Dickey jersey. Oh. So I actually use what they wear at auto mechanic shop to dress a tech company and they love it. Then you can mix and match different industry. Maybe what's happening in construction industry will be good in the business and the finance world as something unique that I can introduce to other clients in other industries. So I like to see what's going on in each sector and I, you know, like to mix things around.
Yeah. What a great story. I love this because, you know, you do something different than what I've brought other people on to talk about before, but it is an important part of marketing, thinking about how you're getting your name out there. So I really love the stories that you're sharing with us. Thank you, Swire. I also know that you work with government contracts, and that is something else we haven't explored too much, but it can be something that's a really great revenue stream for any business in marketing, construction. There's so many ways that you can partner with the government and get government contracts. So can you talk to us about that process, how you got in there, what kind of certification you need, what that process was like, and then what are some of the things that you do?
Mm-hmm. About 8 years ago, I was brainstorming for business development, right? So I'm thinking about who is an organization that will buy a lot of things that we sell, but essentially would never go out of business. So, and the answer is our government, right? So they could, but then if they go out of business, then it will be big trouble. So that's another. Yeah. And what I realized after finding out, you know, they actually have websites on how to do business with us. You know, that could be, you know, in our town, the city of Los Angeles, the county of Los Angeles, even the state of California. It's the government. So they all have the bureaucracy. They all have a lot of forms that you have to fill out. So if you are interested in finding out what they want, buy. And they're a big organization. I think one of the buyers told me that we'll buy anything from IT services to catfish. You know, that was the metropolitan water district. I guess in the reservoir they do, they put catfish to eat mosquito. I don't know, but they buy fish, right? So that means they buy everything that you sell. And then they have a lot of different counties, districts, and depending on where you're located, you should look on if they recognize any certification. For example, I'm a minority. We are a women-owned business. So we have women-owned business, minority-owned business. We also have small business. And then, you know, these are the certifications that get us through the door. For example, if you are bidding on a job for $10,000, you know, if you're recognized in the LA County, I'm using the LA County, for example, I have the LSB certification. I can bid for $10,000 and then company bid for $10,000. With my certification, they'll actually give me a 10% preference, which means that I will appear on the final bid as $9,000. And then the other company, even if we come in at the same price, but I'll still get paid at $10,000. So that's a clear advantage for small business like me. And, you know, it takes a lot of work and it's all about networking because it's the government. You will never close the government. They will close you when they're ready.
Okay. So it can take time, but it's an area of business that is worth looking at and can be lucrative.
Yeah, they have the volume. You know, just to give everyone the perspective, the LA County itself buy purchase over $1 billion of goods and services. So it's a big business. They actually pay small business probably within 15 days. So a lot of the corporate client, you know, if you work with big corporate client, they don't pay you in 60, 90 days. And sometimes they just don't pay you and you can do nothing. These are government entities. They are required to pay you within the amount period of time. And so it's interesting. It's not the most simple. They all have their own lingo and acronym that they like to use. But I think it's interesting. It doesn't matter if you're a product or a service business, you should look into that. And then they have workshops actually to help people coach and guide you to how to do business with them.
Fantastic. It's really good to think about these things and think about how we want to shape our businesses. So if you are listening to this episode and this is something that might be a good strategy for you, look into it if you have a few hours during the holidays and you can think about how to set your business up for success for 2024. I love that. And again, it's something that we really haven't discussed on my podcast before. I've looked into it previously under different businesses, but then I would, you know, move on to something else because I know the process is long, but it's something that I personally need to investigate a little more for 2024 too.
But think about that, because it's so, I would say, difficult, right? To do business with them. It's hard. It's not easy. And they don't advertise anywhere.
Yeah.
Then once you're in, it's actually good for you because you know the process. And there are times now within a certain department, I know the process better than the junior staff now. So then you make a disadvantage to become your advantage. So I think that's why I'm sticking with that, because like they're not doing a good job to teaching people. Yeah, we have to find out the long way. But once you figure it out, then it's get a little bit better, just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And as a small business starting up, what are some resources that you would recommend to people that would be low cost or free services that can help them really shape their business moving forward?
Yeah, depending on where you are, I would suggest free resources from the government. It will check out your local SBDC center. So it's a free service. They will actually match you up with a consultant that will understand your business to help you. In the beginning of my CD DVD business, I actually have an advisor as SCORE. SCORE is, I forgot what it stands for now. They are retired professional in that particular industry. They have different professionals available. So what I found at the CD DVD time, it's entertainment related. So I actually found entertainment. I found the original owner for Record Plant. Record Plant is a recording studio who have done sessions for Jimi Hendrix, Beatles, and all the big name artists. Ah. The owner, Chris Stone, he retired, but he wants to give back. So that was a perfect match for me. So I really try to pick his brain for all the information, you know, make connections for me. So you'll be surprised, like there are a lot of people who want to give back. And no matter what your industry, I would say SCORE, SBDC. And then if you're in LA, I'll also suggest you to check out Pace LA as well.
Pace LA. Okay, great. And for your business, do you primarily work with other businesses in Los Angeles? Do you find that now that because of your networking, you're getting clients from all over?
Yeah, I think so. You know, from the way that we are able to do virtual meetings like this, actually are shipping and helping clients all around the world. What it does, and I think what a good profit margin client for me is, company that are from out of the country who are coming into Los Angeles and do a trade show or events. Don't know anyone. They know that I'm in LA. Now I could jump onto a meetings like this, you know, on Zoom to talk to them. So I could build trust more quickly than someone email you, because you never know who's on the other side. But if they see you, they feel better. So I think those are clients that I'm gaining through the dawn of the our technology, because now they could just request a meeting with me. I have my calendar link. You know, we could figure out the time zone and then jump on a meeting. I can get things done more quickly than, you know, simply by emailing a lot of people. Maybe, you know, they have to get their boss approved. Now we can just do a big Zoom meeting and everyone involved in the meeting to jump on board. So I think as a small business, I think technology is helping us a lot.
Yeah, fantastic. But speaking of technology, what was the transition like for you? Because I imagine that during the pandemic, a lot of people probably, there weren't as many in-person events. Did people still want to buy promotional items at the same rate? Did you have to shift your business slightly during that time frame?
I think, yeah, some of things are here to stay forever. For example, before I would go visit my client and then maybe they want to see products that I have. But now they would say, you know, just go on a Zoom call and we just talk virtually. So you're in LA, you know, that saved me a lot of time driving around. And then I think it's the same. And now I can actually get all the party involved onto a meeting. So I think instead of meeting a lot of different people at a lot of different times, we can all jump into a meeting, hammer it out. I'll never forget to bring my files with me. It's all on my computer now, right? So I think that's better. But I do miss the in-person interaction sometime.
Yeah.
So now there are more meetings from the Chamber of Commerce, from, you know, my industry trade show. So I think with in-person coming back, I would like to be more active, you know, getting out there myself as well.
Yeah. And do you have, for your clients, have you had a client that's been a favorite case study for you, of someone that you really like, the products that you helped provide them helped them really change their business or gain their new customers, or somebody who's just been with you from the beginning?
I think the examples that I wanted to give, and I think, you know, we have to think about that. It would be like 7-8 years ago now, like around Christmas time. Usually when people call me around Christmas times, are really desperate. You know, you should plan your gift now. And I know when people call me, that is like the crazy rush people. And the customer just wanted 200 business cards. It's really small. But, you know, I'm available that day. You know, I want to help. So we did 200 business cards. That's for her boss. And her boss is actually one of the executives at a big tech company here in Manhattan Beach. So one thing led to another. I learned how to sell better, because a lot of times when you read a sales book, they will tell you how to get past a gatekeeper. I was dealing with the gatekeeper at the time. I learned that the gatekeeper also talked to other gatekeeper or other secretary, executive assistant. So end up, I'm working with 20 to 30 of the executive assistant in that tech company, servicing their bosses. Going back to what I said in the beginning, I am providing service in a commodity-based business. You know, they could buy anywhere in the world, any company in the country, but they choose to work with me because they know that they usually call me like Friday afternoon. It's when the bosses finish their wrap-up meeting and then say, I want this by next week. You know, do this for me. I just want that, you know, but they will pay for it. You know, it's my job to help the executive assistant and make their life easier. So that next time they have the budget, they could go to anywhere they want, but they trust me and they know that within the time period, and then I also make them look good. You always deliver on time. So they have less things to worry about. So I would encourage everyone that to get to know the executive assistant, the secretary or the gatekeeper, because they are the ones who control the boss's schedule. They sometimes had the budget they could dispense on the boss's behalf. So you'd be surprised. And then the questions that I asked to lead on to other executive assistants is, you know, once I know that she's happy with the product, do you happen to know a colleague or a friend within your company that might be able to use our product and services? Would you mind to make an introduction for me? And then she, next time she sees your colleague, and then next time she sees the other department who are looking for things that we do. And now this one of my biggest customers.
Wow. That is fantastic. I love hearing that story and the strategy Yeah, you get in one gatekeeper, and then if you're providing the right amount of service, you're providing good quality, and you're being proactive, and you're able to get things done in a timely fashion, then you can reach all of the other gatekeepers. I don't think we think enough about that. Who are the true gatekeepers at an organization, and how do you reach them effectively? So that is fantastic. You also have a podcast, right, called The Small Business Show. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Oh, thank you. I created a small business show, you know, with the thinking in mind that what if 20 years ago, Swire learned all the information that we uncover with guests during the podcast? How would that help Swire back then? So that's my intention for starting a podcast, because sometimes guests will talk about their marketing strategy, you know, how to structure your business. You know, those are things that I spend like years to figure it out. Like, I don't have an accounting background. I don't know how to set up the books. I did it the hard way. But, you know, if you listen to the episode, it's 30 minutes long, you know, not too long, then sometimes I think it will save Swire years, you know, going in circle himself. So that's my intention, and hope to give back and then, you know, have people in small business realize there are other aspects, you know, that can help them grow their business as well.
Yeah. And Swire, are there any key takeaways we haven't covered that you think my listeners really need to know or understand right now?
I think you need to create value for your client, no matter what industry that you're in. You know, once people like you, not because of your, if people like you as your pricing, that's good, right? But if when, until someone else comes along with better pricing, but if you build a relationship, if you build the retention, either with your client and then with your employees, you know, that's something that you could build your business. Because during COVID, you know, think about your personal experience. You cut things that you don't need, or you cut company or things that you hate working with to start. But then you always keep one that really close to your heart. Like, even you know that that is an expense, but you love that person. You like working with them. So you keep the vendor that you like the most until the end. So how can you become that company? So I think a lot of small businesses spend a lot of money on marketing, getting lead generation, but then they don't focus at all on customer retention, which is where the promotional product can come in to help you create the experience. You know, it's not just when you purchase from me, it's done, then I'll never talk to you again. You know, you build that retention. That's how you can generate more referrals. It's always cheaper and better to get referrals than to get, you know, someone, a cold client every time. So that's my last, you know, thoughts.
Yeah. Thank you. That was really impactful. And then lastly, do you have a favorite quote or mantra, motto?
That would be do more with less. You know, that's something that I constantly working on. Can I use technology? Can I use strategy to clone Swire 10 times? So I'm actually doing less, but then there's actually more virtual Swire out there. It's getting close. You could do AI Swire. You could do a lot of things with AI. So I'm actually doing less, but then capturing more out there.
Yeah. I like that. And that's something that we all need to think about, because I feel like in this world, we're all so busy, busy, busy. But if you take a step back, you can actually get a lot done in a fraction of the time, and then have more time to enjoy life, maybe with your family, or, you know, do activities that you enjoy, or get a little other stuff done to move your business forward. So I will have your company website and podcast in the show notes for everybody to listen to and look and review. So Swire, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed our conversation. And to my audience, thank you for watching or listening to another episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'll be back again in a few days with another amazing expert.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.